What we're going to do, Rita Marie should be in just a few moments. And what we're going to do is we've got a mic runner ready, and we are going to ask you to share some of your aha moments, just something that was an aha for you. Yes, over here, Laura, in the pale blue. Thank you, Laura.
Can you put up your hand again, Laura? Okay, thank you.
Hi, I'm Laura. I think just really hitting home that it's not a this for that. And so being in the medical field for the last 30 years, it's something I need to hear over and over again.
Yes, we can't hear that enough, really, that it's not this for that. It's a bio-individual, an individualized, customized, and that can change even within the individual themselves. What may work for 6 months may not work for the next 6 months. They may need something new. It's like peeling back the layers of the onion, as she showed. Other aha moments. What else did you think was interesting? What was new? Interesting, different, fun. Grace, right here on the front.
I had a lot of aha moments about the things that I don't think we've all heard as much about. So the whole spiritual aspect, I noticed that theme through a lot of the presentations, and I really liked that. And the presentation yesterday with the colors, that, you know, then with the Qigong. How many of you were able to participate in the Qigong? Awesome, yeah, a lot of you, so you know. And so we've had a great day, I think, partly because we started it out really well. So I had a lot of personal revelations during that Qigong time, and that's why I've committed to doing 10 minutes of meditation every day. And I've had people telling me this, and just like you probably have too, and if you haven't done it, I encourage you to join me starting tomorrow in meditating.
How many of us can commit to at least some meditation time, 2 minutes? 3 minutes. Did you hear that, Dr. David? That was one of our ahas. Yo, Dr. David, over there. Did you hear that? No. Qigong was a... And also the ahas about the spiritual component, because it's really all part of healing and wellness. Yes, Betty. Okay, we have Betty over here. Mike, thank you.
I'm Betty. And I had a chance to help a man in Birmingham, Alabama, who had diabetes, and his wife said he was dying. It was 2 minutes, I guess 2 days, 2 weeks or something like that before he was to die. His doctor had told him to get things in order because he was dying. And learning about Dr. Rita Marie's influence with chia and so forth, he changed his diet, he got off all carbs, and he's doing fine today. He's at 82.
And he's alive and well.
He's alive.
Alive and well.
He went from 300 down. He went from 300 down to 110 in about 2 weeks. And from that, 2 weeks later, he was at 82. And he's still at 82. And it's been 4 months now.
And he was told, sent home to die.
Yeah,
basically.
He was sent home to die.
And it's so interesting that, and correct me if I'm wrong, those of you who are in the medical profession, but oftentimes, doctors are afraid of giving what is called false hope, because they're, and isn't that interesting that can be something litigious, that you can be afraid of being sued for giving hope to someone. Very interesting. And so they call it false hope, and so they would rather tell you, you are dying, than some alternatives and how to make your lifestyle such that your body can become the amazing self-healing entity that it is. So, good point, Betty. Thank you for sharing. Okay, Keldy's got Mike over here. Yeah.
I'm just on what you were talking about. When you send them home to die, then it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, because there's no reason to change or do anything. You might as well live it up, because you're going to die. So, you know, and I think we mentioned something about it's okay for a religion to give you hope that there's afterlife. And they don't get sued, mind you, because we don't know about it when they can't come back and sue us. But I'm just saying that it's interesting to me that you can't give hope. And then it really is a self-fulfilling prophecy. When you're told you're going to die,
That sets the expectation.
If you believe it, that's the expectation. So, you know, it's up to family to always keep giving the hope and don't give up and things like that in order for people to keep striving through. It is really sad to me.
Absolutely. And that's why intention is so important. And it's such a basic component of spirituality, too. Setting that intention with the meditation, whatever it takes to feel grounded, to feel in tune, to be aligned with whatever mission you are here for and here to do. So intention and hope. Absolutely. Thank you, Betty. We have another comment over here. Good. You guys are, this is great. I'm loving your ahas.
So just to piggyback on what you were saying, Keldy, I think doctors want you to be afraid because this is my belief my whole life, that they just want to make the money. It's a machine, you know, and if they sentence you to no more life, then you'll do all of their procedures and lose like most of your income in the last couple months of your life. But being in the presence of people really passionate about helping doctors like shift that is hopeful for me, because I've had a lot of really very cynical feelings about the medical world. And so it's very hopeful to see Rita pumping up all these people and wanting to bring more consciousness. And so there's hope that they won't be ground up in a cancer machine like that.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you. And it is. It's about educating and empowering. Because if I fall off of a, you know, 13-story building, I would like to have an ambulance take me to the trauma center real quickly. There is a place and a time and a place for that type of medicine quickly. But for follow-up care and for wellness, for prevention, absolutely. We need something that is not monetarily driven, that is driven with the interest of the well-being of people in mind, yeah? Okay, I think we're all in agreement on that. That's good. Anyone else? These are great. Yes, over here on the front row, second seat over.
I'm Pat, and it's basically two quotes that I liked. One isn't an aha moment, but I liked it. But the other one was, assume all disease is due to autoimmunity until proven otherwise.
Okay, yes, that is good. That's a great place to start.
But the other one was just a quote that made me laugh, and it was that Dr. Rita Marie was vaccinated with a phonograph needle.
Yes, that Dr. Rita Marie's mother told her when she was a little girl, she said, you must have been vaccinated with a phonograph needle, because she is so great at speaking and remembering things. It's fascinating to work with her, so... Very good. And to begin with, autoimmunity is a good place to start looking. Yes, to start the assumptions there. Okay, making educated assumptions. More ahas? Anyone over here? Yes, Mona has. I'm kind of hanging out over that edge of the room. Well, hang out over here.
Well, I thought I was doing really well with sharing with people about food. But I have since learned, since I've been here, that there's a lot more for me to know about the foods. And that, as you and I shared, I have my daughter, I thought, on a very special diet because she only eats organic and lots of other things. And through just education yesterday, I think I figured out that she is not tolerating spinach. So I'm learning that there's a whole lot more for me to learn.
And that's perfect, you know, and that's one thing. What's the first thing a lot of people do when they want to get on the healthy train? They start making green smoothies and they throw a lot of spinach in the green smoothies, which for some people is absolutely fabulous. But I have a client, and she said, she came to me and she says, I have kidney stones, and they're extremely painful, can't get rid of them. And I said, what do you eat? She says, well, I eat very healthy. Every morning I have a green smoothie. I put a whole bag of raw spinach in it. And the oxalate count in raw spinach is sky high. And so, and again, with oxalates, you always want to remove the oxalates slowly, about 5 to 10% per week, because otherwise you get a backlash with that. We didn't have time to go into it, and you would learn that in some of the courses, the CMDS courses with the digestive system. But what happens, it's a phenomenon called oxalate dumping. And so as the body begins to unburden itself, symptoms come out, and they can really be vicious. So you want to remove these oxalates. You want to lower the oxalate. You'll never be able to remove all of the oxalates from the diet, nor would you want to, because the irony is that the oxalates that are not tolerated too well are generally very, very healthy foods. They contain a lot of micronutrients. You know, they're your greens. They have the magnesium. They have the trace minerals that you need. But if you lower them too quickly, you get the symptoms. And if you remove them completely, then you don't have the nourishment. So what you want to do is find that threshold. And that's why these tools and trackers that we use are so important. And why a food journal, you know, we had the food journal from Patty last night, the food diary, where people are writing down what they're eating and just sometimes doing what we call mono meals. Just maybe eat one food at a time and see how the body tolerates that to find the threshold. And sometimes it may not be all that spinach. You may have a little spinach, and then you may have some almonds, because almonds and almond flour are high in oxalates. And a lot of times people who are on a paleo diet, because they're using a lot of nut flours, because they've gone gluten-free, and they say, well, I'm gluten-free and casein-free, and yet I have this joint pain. Mm. Susan Owens is a good expert on oxalates. She has the low oxalate diet, and you can follow her. She is a nurse, and she had knee pain. Another sign of oxalates are, while we're on the topic of oxalates, is this okay? Or are we just making chit-chat here? Did you really want to know about oxalates? Okay. All right. Well, I, as Rita Marie says, we keep going as long as it's, you know, serving you. But she had knee pain. So a lot of times if you have an injury and that injury just is not getting better, she had injured her knee in some sort of a skiing accident, I think it was, and she had knee pain. It wouldn't go away. And so she kept searching and searching to find out what the problem was, and she realized it was oxalates. And when she began to remove them then and slowly lower them in her diet, the pain went away. So if you are experiencing joint pain, sometimes they can even cause a bit of anxiety, but those are the main symptoms. Wounds that won't heal, joint pain, obviously kidney stones are a severe symptom. But also they can cause cystitis, interstitial cystitis. And another symptom, if you have grandchildren or children, small children, you notice if you're potty training them, that the urine that maybe dries in the potty chair will be gravelly. You'll see sand in it because those are oxalate crystals. Or if you have kids that have a lot of sand in their eyes, that can be an oxalate intolerance, and that can be caused by different things. And one of the things that causes the oxalate intolerance is when it's the calcium and magnesium that bind to these oxalates, and they help to escort them out of our bodies. And many of us are chronically low in some of these minerals. And so, or we don't process them right. So we don't have that detox pathway. Also, a lot of people on the autism spectrum, as we mentioned, have an impaired MTHFR pathway, so they don't have the methylation process, and that we learned a little bit about that. In other words, their phase two detox isn't working as well, which is why sometimes with the vaccinations, you get the thimerosal buildup in the old vaccinations that they used to have. So it's that the component, who was saying from the Alzheimer's Summit, that was Susan in there, kind of the 63 whole net, there's several different components to a lot of chronic illness. Mm-hmm. And some of it is genetic, some of it is environmental, some of it is, you know, what they've been exposed to on the outside, and another is endotoxins. And oxalates can also be produced. We get oxalates exogenously, from diet, from the things that we take in from the outside, that's the exo part, and some people produce them endogenously as well. And if you have a very high vitamin C, so if you're a person that's sensitive to oxalates and you're wanting to be healthy and you're making big old green smoothies in the morning and then you're taking, 5,000 milligrams of vitamin C every day because everybody says, well, we need more vitamin C, right? It's an antioxidant. Really over 500 milligrams of vitamin C in an oxalate sensitive person can cause them to produce endogenous oxalates. So anyway, it's really a fascinating topic. And it's one that a lot of people don't know about. So, more ahas. Sorry. Okay, I hope that was helpful. Anyway, so look at that, because that may be a clue, right? So you have a patient, they're doing all these healthy things, or even you yourself. And I think that's why I get so passionate about it, because I was frustrated for a long time. I would make these green smoothies, and all of a sudden, they were not happy with me, and I could not figure out why. And then I began to look at some of these phenols, some of these components, oxalates, salicylates, etc. And the goal is to heal the gut. So really, even though you may be sensitive, as Steph said, there are different bacteria for our gut, different gut flora that help you to process oxalates and salicylates. And once you heal the gut lining, and it is possible to do, that threshold goes up. You can tolerate more. So the good news is, it's not a sentence. It's not a life sentence. Okay, over here.
You went by so quickly, I didn't hear the name of the person who had...
Thank you. I'll repeat it again. Susan Owens.
Owens.
Yeah.
Okay. I asked because my dad has gout.
Gout is another,
and,
yeah.
His doctor told him not to eat spinach and things like that. And so he's had numerous kidney stones, and now his kidneys are a little damaged.
Yes.
So, you know, I didn't know, but he started to juice as well and, you know, taking the vitamin C and, you know, so now you're telling me, I'm like, oh.
Yeah, take a look at that. Show him the research. There's some tables. There's some charts. There's even a low oxalate diet community that... Exactly, yeah, and you have high uric acid as well. So it's interesting how all of these chronic illness plays out. Any more ahas? Let's keep going. You guys are doing great. Yes, over here.
Thank you. Well, my aha is that I have so much more healing to do. I learned a lot about myself. I thought that I had a lot of things under control, but all of these things, like the, I forget what she calls it, the three Bs, the...
belly fat, brain fog, and burnout?
Yeah, I think that that's something, yeah. So I need to look into that, and Brandon will be helping me with a lot of things. He's like, you can be my case study, so...
Absolutely.
I will definitely be helping him out. And another thing that I learned is that even though I always feel like I'm not ready, I always feel like... you know, I have more learning to do, I'm too young to do all this stuff that I want to do. Dr. Rita Marie was like looking into my eyes, telling me I was ready for all of this stuff, and I just feel so much more confident and motivated to do all the things that I want to do. I mean, I have so many hopes and dreams for helping people, and I think I'm gonna go home and make some serious steps and see what I can do. And I'm a yoga teacher, and I have this dream of helping women heal from trauma that we store in our bodies. And so I would really like to help women release that through yoga poses. And I don't know, I think I'll give it a shot.
Absolutely, that's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, that's great. And you know, I loved what you said. I don't know that anyone ever feels ready. But the question is, if not now, when? And if not me, who? Especially when it comes to your own health and to the health of your family members, and to the health of those in the community. And I also loved what, it was so interesting, I think it was Deanna Minich that said, that was the lady in the green dress with the color, all of the colors, and, was it, yeah, I think it was, and she talked about haters, and she said, that was in our thing last night, wasn't it? And she said that she was back at the back of the room, only 1% really, you know, every so often there'll be that client that will come back and say, you know, you gave me green smoothies, and all they did was make me sick. Well, now you know why, and you can say, I have something. But, you know, again, those people that come back, she said they're less than 1 in 100. And if you don't have somebody that has something like that to say, then you're probably not playing big enough, right? And so if they are 1%, the other 99%, you can be helping and can be getting better. And I really like those statistics. So as I told you, that was my story. I was a yoga teacher and just wanted to lie there on the floor and just pray that my students didn't come in. because we were doing power yoga and some hot yoga. I don't know if you're familiar with Bikram yoga and the 26 poses. It's pretty intense. And I just did not have the stamina. I couldn't figure out why, because I would go to the doctor and all of my labs were normal range. I had the same blood labs as everybody walking in and out of Walmart, like she said today. I thought that was an aha for me. You know, the labs that you get from your doctor are the 8 to 10 people that you see walking out of Walmart at any given time. and we're picking on Walmart, but anyway, we do. We want to be optimal. We want to be in the ideal range. You want to be in what's called the functional range, where everything can function. And so when I heard belly fat, brain fog, and burnout, that was one of Dr. Rita Marie's first courses. The sweet spot solution used to be named the Before Be Gone program. And that was bye-bye belly fat, brain fog, and burnout. And it changed my life because I wasn't really heavy, but I had the belly fat. I could not remember things. I was so tired. And I heard Dr. Rita Marie speak on a webinar. And she said, the first 5 people that sign up get a consultation with me. And boy, I was on the phone. I was like dialing the, you know how you dial the radio station to name that tune to win the prize? So I was dialing in, and then I was emailing Scott. Was I one of the first 5? Did I get the consultation? And I did. And then you know what I did, you guys? It was like a year. Rita Marie will tell you. It was like a year before I got my consultation. It wasn't because of her. They kept calling me, Jan, book your consultation. What did I say? I'm not ready yet. I have to get one more lab. I have to do one more thing. I have to, and then we can meet. And then, and all that time, I was healing, yeah, but not nearly as fast as if I'd had a jump start with Dr. Rita Marie. So don't make the same mistake I did. Fortunately, she helped me to get right back on the wagon, but it took me almost a year to finally do my consultation, and she laughed, so. And laughed, and it was great. But it, as you can see, it's changed my life. And I've been with her ever since, and she's here now. So we will have a big welcome for Dr. Rita Marie. Yay, let's all stand up and give her a big round of applause. Here
Woo-hoo!
We go.
Woo-hoo! Hello.
Yay. Just stretch your legs a bit. We've been sharing ahas.
Great.
And they've had some wonderful ahas. We've been talking about lots of things.
Wonderful. I'm so excited. And everything that's left is grand prize, right? Woohoo! Grand prize is going to be after we talk here. We're going to take a little break. We're going to do grand prize drawing. And then we're going to have amazing time with Tony, who's met Tony, talked to Tony, visited with her. She amazing or what? Right? So motivational and so full of love. It was so nice for you to meet her after coaching with her on the phone, right? And why weren't you in the room with us? We're going around. I'm like, where's Lynette? You got distracted. Okay. Well, you can still go over there if you want to. Yeah, they're doing an activity that I think will be good for you. Oh, Margie. Yeah, Margie was there. Yeah. All right. So, are you full yet? How would you feel about going? Yes, you going another 3 days would not be good. What if we had a break day where we went and played and then we came back again? I'd like to do that somebody, like someplace really gorgeous and do like two days. Let's do 2 days of content, a day of play, 2 days, yeah? All right, we'll think about that one. I think that would be a lot of fun. What's that? We can come here. I know, we are someplace gorgeous. Right, forgot about that. I haven't been out there. I've been in here. Yeah, we gotta do that. I was concerned about, will people be able to get away for more than 3 days? I mean, 3 days is sometimes rough. You know, there's a lot of balance, and when you're working with people and you're creating programs, there's always that balance of what's going to work for them, but what they really need versus what they can actually swing within their busy lifestyle. So that's what we do. We compromised here. It's like 3 days, it's beautiful. Like I said, I'm afraid I'm not giving you enough and I want to give you plenty because you've come all the way. But on the other hand, we could cut back a little bit and just have a little bit more playtime in the middle. Who would be in favor of that? No? Yeah, there's some people who are geeks, right? Like, I paid to be here. I went to a conference like that, and it was a relicensure conference, and it was Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, whatever. And it was Saturday morning, and then there was all this free time. That was it for the rest of the day. And then it was Sunday morning, and I'm like, you could have put this all on Saturday, and I could have gone home. So it just depends, right, if there's something really fun planned or what your life is like. So it's hard to balance it with everybody. So I hope that what we did here was worthwhile, worth your time. Everybody, was it worth your time to be here? Yeah? Okay, good. Good, good, good. So we're going to pull this together now. So I've got, you know, about 12-step programs. Everybody's heard of 12-step programs. So I came up with this brilliant idea of having a 12-step program. And I'm going to share that with you so that you can actually create a 12-step program from it. And it's the steps you want to follow to support people, right? And if you can't do it each individual step because it's outside of your scope or it's outside of your skill set, you want to still make sure that that step is handled if the person hasn't already handled it. Does that make sense? Right? So all the stuff might not be in your scope or your knowledge base yet. And anything that's not, you want to make sure that you have a resource that you can get somebody to do that. So we're going to go through that, and then we're going to give you a summary page. You'll have all these slides, but then at the end of today, we're going to give you a summary page. And let's go through. Where are we? Oh, there we were. Step 12-step program, right? Using food as medicine to achieve unstoppable health. So you as the practitioner can call it whatever you want to call it, right? But you can use this same framework. I'm going to do this 12 steps. Maybe you only like 10 of those steps. Maybe you're going to combine them. You're going to do it a little bit differently. But at least I'm giving you a framework. And there's hair like sticking through here and getting in my mouth. Sorry, this isn't very. There we go. That's much better. So first step, transform stress. I do this in my programs. This is what I do. Help people, give them tools, give them strategies. So let's just do that right now. Let's see how quickly you can transform that stress in your body. Let's see if you practice this enough where you can do it in two breaths. So deep breaths. Just go to that special place. Go to that amazing place. And then come back with the intent that that feeling comes back with you, and then you keep going. I do this before every conference call that I do, sometimes two or three times throughout it, depending on how my technology is behaving itself. I do it before one-on-one, you know, if I'm going to meet somebody in person, I do this. I do it just to, and I don't do this because if somebody's around, they see me. I can just do it. When you do it and you coach people to do it, make sure they do the full exhale. Because here's what happens with a type A. You go, okay, let's get, before we get started on your appointment, let's just do some breathing and set the intent here for a nice, calm, engage your parasympathetic nervous system. And I've already taught them what that means. And I'll say, okay, so breathe in, nice long deep breath, and they'll go. And then you know what happened? Like halfway through the breath, I'm like, nope, you got to continue it. I had this one person, 74 years old, anxious up the wazoo. And she go, why is my blood pressure always so high? And then she go, why is my blood pressure always so high? And I go, okay, let's just set the intention for a calmness this session, and we're really going to, and I'd have her do that. And midway through the exhale, it's, and then the doctor told me, and it's hard to break the habit, right? But it's really important that you do it. So help them transform stress. It could be heart math. It could be tapping. It could be a yoga pose. It could be a mini meditation or a long meditation, any number of things that it could be. But it's an important first step. Otherwise, you're not getting them into the state for healing. Step two, connect with their values, visions, and goals. This is a health roadmap that I use in my programs. And I basically, you know, you can use, you'll see this in your slides. You might want to create something similar where they get to fill in. What are their goals? Where are they going? And where they're going is on the left hand, the far left hand side. Oops. Where's the other page of this? Oh, it used to have, oh, there it is at the bottom. I was missing. At the very bottom, you'll see the tire tracks. Our graphic designer decided to get crazy. So on the right-hand side of the far left piece, so there's two pieces, a front and a back. On the left-hand side, you'll see that that's where they are currently. So what are their symptoms? What are their lab work telling them? All the different things about their present health. This is where they are. This is not where they necessarily want to be. The other side is where they want to be. The middle is how we're going to get them there. So you can use this as a model if you want to, but it helps them to see, like, okay, I've got all these steps to get me to where I want to go. And the other side is just a checklist of daily activities. They can put that up on their refrigerator, make a copy of it, you know, laminate it, and check things off. So just some ideas for you. But connect them to their values, visions, and goals. What's important to me? Right? If freedom and health and energy are important to me, then eating the Mars bars and the donuts may not get me there. But if pure hedonistic pleasure is put at the top of my list, I'm living in my values, right? It just may not be their long-term value, and it's helping them to see what's really important. And there's a sheet I've given you. This is what I use with people. It's to get them like, oh, what's really important to you? I have them do a sequential check-off. Just circle everything that appeals to you in terms of these words. Okay, let's go back through and, you know, combine the ones that seem like they're duplicated or what. And then narrow it down to the top 5 to 10 that's super important to you. And then really write up, like, why it's important. And then we have them look at their goals, right? What is your goal? First, it's a vision. Does anybody know the difference between a vision and a goal? Goal is measurable. Thank you. A vision can be anything you want, right? Vision, it's out there. So you have this vision of living on the beach and having a maid take care of all your things and make you food. And you have clients that come and spend 3 days at your beautiful retreat, and you make them food and you do massage and you do yoga with them. And that may be a vision that you have. A goal is a measurable. So it's by this date, I will have secured a lease for this particular house. And by this date, I will have, you know, raised the money or gotten funding to do this or that. And by this date, I would have figured out the plan. It's measurable. So important, okay? Why is that there? Step 3, cost of losing health. So one of the things that you're really engaging people into when you're doing this visioning process, not just what they want, but what's the cost of not having that health? What is that costing them in terms of their relationships, in terms of their finances, in terms of their job security, in terms of their happiness or joy? What is it costing them? So it's not just a matter of, well, you know, I go to the doctor and it costs me this much money and it costs me this much in copays and insurance payments, but what's it costing you, seriously? When you can help people right at the beginning to get in touch with that, it's big, it's motivating, it's inspiring, because most people don't think that way. So step 3, track blood glucose. So many people have blood sugar imbalances. At least find that out from the beginning. Get them to track it. Get them to look at it. If everything looks fine, we measure it. I've given you the chart of how we measure it every 15 minutes right after they eat to see what their peak is. If they're measuring it and they're consistently good and they're eating, you know, decent food, then they may not have a blood sugar problem. But if they have a blood sugar problem and you try to help them with their sex hormones and their adrenals and their thyroid and their blood sugar is all over the map, guess what? You're not going to get help with them. So that's my next one. Foods that support healing. Introduce them to foods that support healing. Notice we haven't taken anything away from them yet, right? Introduce them. You know, oh, have you ever had, you know, a sauteed kale with garlic and slivered almonds? Wow, how easy is that to make? That would really do better than your hamburger helper and, you know, and canned green beans, right? Find out what they like. Find out how to support them in introducing health supporting. What I always say is I like to crowd out the bad stuff. So I say, oh, I want you to eat 12 servings of vegetables a day. And if there's room left, you can eat anything else you want. Well, most of them don't have room after they've done that. So you crowd out the bad stuff with the good stuff before you say you can't have it. And what you find is they're slowly and gradually eliminating it. So these are some of the foods that you can introduce them to, because if you know they're on thyroid medication or you know they have specific issues, you can just give them an elixir, which is kind of fun at that introduction stage. Here's a drink, and instead of that coffee in the morning or in addition to the coffee, before you have your coffee is what you can say. Before you have your coffee in the morning, I want you to have this, and you give them, this is customized for you. These are the 3 things that you want to do. And then that's the foods, and the other was the herbs, and these are the foods. So you can pick and choose from these foods, these food list and this herb list, how to teach them how to make a stir fry that's customized to their needs by picking the foods and picking the herbs. Is that good? Right, step five. Now we get to the replace. This is where, if you'd put this step right at the beginning, they're kicking and screaming, right? What do you mean I can't have my? But you've already given them other ways to do things, okay? And then, oops. Oh, and what we have for that is, let's get out of order. Oh, no, so the food religion sheet, right? Some of these foods that are good foods are actually going to be inhibiting their healing. So if you know yet that this is option, you can pull them out according to this chart, and you can swap according to here. Okay, let's see what we can do for no dairy. Let's go to the goods column first. Good would be this alternative. Better would be that alternative. Best would be this. And you can give them a chart like this, right? And then they go, oh, okay, there, but you know the competitive ones, right? They'll go, well, I'm not just going to go do good. I want to do best. Great. Let them make that choice, right? You're not pressuring them too much. And you go slowly with them. Here's the deal, though. You can go slowly with them and tell them you can go slowly with them. You guys got handed that out yesterday. But if they have cancer or they have some kind of a disease that's really progressed and you know you can help them at least start to arrest it, you tell them that, look, you've got cancer. And I normally would tell people, let's transition slowly, but this is your life. And I don't know if this transition is going to support you if you continue to eat sugar and gluten and, you know, hydrogenated oils, because this is stuff that's actually going to accelerate your issue, right? So that's where I would be careful with that. Okay, step six, support their methylation and detox pathways. Before you know they have issues with it, before you have a 23andMe test, if that's what you end up doing with them, these are some foods that you can do. Get rid of steroid hormones. So you want to get them off of the steroids because this gets rid of it and you're just adding to the load. That's what I meant. So this gets rid of the steroid hormones, excess dopamine, histamine, right? Remember we talked yesterday about, or was it Friday, about histamines, right? If they have a histamine problem, some of these foods can actually support the pathways that eliminate histamines, okay? That eliminate the excess steroids, that eliminate, lower the homocysteine, which causes inflammation in the blood vessels. So all of these things can be added to their diet to support methylation before you even have the fancy test or the education that teaches them how to do that. Number seven, teach them how to have fun with the foods. And you're going to do that, Betty, in your classes, right? You're not going to just say, this is some food and you should make this. You're going to make them have fun with it, like really have fun with it. Pick their fun foods. Teach them how to make healthy chocolates or macaroons or stir fries that are amazing or salads that with dressings that feel like ranch and taste like ranch, but ain't no ranch going on there, right? So these are things. My favorite is, and I always demonstrate this when people come over to my house because it's quick and easy, what I call the big bowl. I just put a big pot of veggies on the stove and I steam them lightly. Broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, anything else, zucchini, makes it nice and creamy. Steam them up, and then I take the water and the veggies, I throw them in the pot, I blend it up creamy, and then I'll add some coconut milk, coconut cream that we showed the other day. I had some coconut cream and Thai curry paste, and now I have a Thai curry soup with loaded veggies. And then I might take some arugula and put it in the bowl and pour this whole hot mixture over the arugula. So the arugula is still raw, but it's soft. And now you have this quick and easy meal that impresses guests, I will tell you for sure, because I've made it for so many guests, and they're like, wow, this is so good. But it's all green. It's all healthy. It's all cruciferous. It's just wonderful, right? Of course, you take into account if you know they have food sensitivities, you substitute the vegetables. You know, soups, salads, non-gluten. You know, there's so many things, like just taking cooked veggies and making a really awesome sauce, right? I really like the sauces you've had. Some of them here, the macadamia nut, the tahini. We have whole books of sauces if you go to our Vital Health community and sign up there. Elixirs, fermented foods, and the desserts. Healing desserts, I put good recipes, good ingredients in there in addition. I may put chocolate and cordyceps together, or looking at that chart, you go, okay, which of these herbs are really going to help support them? Let's teach them how to make it in a macaroon. Or some of those desserts you've had here, some of the puddings or the little bars, you can make those therapeutic desserts, right? You can stick special herbs in there, special mushroom powders. And then identify their sensitivities. So now you've just been doing some basic stuff, like adding stuff, taking away a few things. You haven't been doing a whole lot of discovery yet on what they really need. But by now, they've cleaned up their diet enough that you can go, okay, let's just do a three-week elimination. Top six allergens, anything you know you're sensitive to. They've come in and said, yeah, I know I'm sensitive to histamines. I've been on a low oxalate diet. Okay, you eliminate all these things for 3 weeks, and then you have them add them back. Create strategies for dealing with resistance. Tony's going to talk about that big time in the next section, so I'm not going to talk too much about that. But how do you deal with their emotional eating? Those, some of you won Trisha's book, Trisha Nelson's book, or her program would be awesome to go through to show you how to deal with people with emotional eating issues, right? Know how to help them. We have in our foundations program, in the program that we use with the energy recharge program and that everybody in ERC gets, is we have a whole section on emotional eating and strategies and removing limiting beliefs. So those are things to really look at using with your clients. And it's really, for me, this has been a life changer, because it's the people that would go, oh yeah, I know what to do, and then they'd come back, well, I only had gluten 3 times this week, but we just got your lab test back, and it shows you're like super allergic. Why did you do it? I couldn't resist, right? So we help them, and we create an emotional eating strategy that they can take away with them. And we have that, like I said, in the ERC program, in the foundations part of the Body Freedom Foundations. So step 10, let go of limiting beliefs. So we did the emotional eating, let go of the limiting beliefs. Who has limiting beliefs? Anybody know what a limiting, what's your limiting belief?
That I'm not ready or I'm not good enough.
I'm not ready or I'm not good enough. Who shares that one? A lot of you. Another one? Any other limiting beliefs? Too old. I'm too old. How old are you? 68? Not too old. Actually, we have 4 people in our program who are older than you. Yeah. Any other limiting beliefs?
Not smart enough.
Not smart enough. Ooh, that's a common one, right? I'm not smart enough. I can't do that. I can't learn that. These are all beliefs that you may have picked up from your parents in childhood. They didn't do it intentionally, but they may have said some little simple thing that caused you to freak. I got from my parents I'm not pretty enough. And they didn't mean to do that, but my mom would always criticize, and my mom and my aunt, stand up straight, put your back against the door, you wash your hair too much, stop washing your hair so much. So I got so freaked out about my appearance that as a teenager, I used to walk around with my hair long, with my head down, so nobody could see me, right? And they didn't mean it. They were just trying to do the best they could for me. But what the words hurt, and they get emotionally charged and locked into the body. So letting go of limiting beliefs, we have an exercise for that. Make time for fun. How many of you feel like you take time to have fun, do something fun every day? Anybody? All right. Good for you. Woo-hoo. Fun is super important. When we did our Spring Into Vitality conference for our clients, I think it was this last one, but the one before that, we went through and we had them do their 7 pillars assessments, and I put up, okay, who's low in which area, who needs help in which area, and I thought for sure the nutrition was going to be a biggie and the exercise was going to be a biggie. I was in for the shock of my life when fun was the biggest. Like, you guys, it's fun to have fun. Like, make time for it. It's not like you have to, you know, go do 57 sit-ups and 14 push-ups, and that may not be fun for some people. Having fun, what's fun for you? So I have this worksheet that I give people, activity, the reason I like it, the time it takes, how often I'd like to do it, and when I'm going to commit, right? So they sit there for a long time. Like, what is fun for me? I haven't done fun in a long time. Like, one of the fun things might be to hike or go skiing, right? That's going to take you 3 days, 5 days, whatever, to go to a place and do it and then come back, unless you live near the mountains. You can't do that every day unless you live in Lake Tahoe in the winter. Yes. But like something like, if you love to like look at pretty pictures in a book, look at photography books with beautiful places, or you like to do little crossword puzzles, or you like to knit or draw or paint, you can do that in short increments every single day. So I want you to fill this out for yourself first. You've got this in the slides printed out, and then use it as you'd like. That's step 11 and step 12. Oh, there's some fun activities, some fun ideas. One of my clients said, oh, she'd be at work, and she knew she just hated her job, and it was really stressful and all, but every time she did a certain thing, you know, if she stopped and took a break, she'd give herself stickers. She bought all these cute little animal stickers. It was just a fully grown adult, right? But she found these stickers, and she gave them to herself, right? Party favors. Every time she'd do it, she'd go, woo, woo, right? Success. I did something for myself, right? Taking a break every hour and, you know, looking. I have a little I call it my little altar. It's the top shelf of a credenza on my desk. And I've put in all these really lovely things that mean a lot to me. I have some mermaids and fairies and pictures of oceans and little trinkets people have given me and a bottle that Karen gave me, a ceramic thing. I love to do ceramics, and it says, more time. I said she gave me time in a bottle, right? So it's just something when I feel like, I look up there and I just take a few breaths and I can get back. It's fun to look at that stuff and remember where they all came from. What can you do? Be silly. Be frisky. Be funny. We all think we can't do that unless we have a few beers, right? But, you know, I used to drink a lot when I was younger, a lot. And it was because I was so inhibited. And I was afraid to be myself, so I knew I could drink and I could be funny and silly and I could just blame it on the alcohol, right? It wasn't really me. Now it's like, heck, I like to be funny and silly. Good, I'm just going to do it. I don't need the alcohol. And then step 12, this is a really biggie. This is going to be probably the hardest one for them, is learning to say no and putting you first. Right? So there's a lot of times we're givers, right? Because we're here because we're healers and we want to help people. And how many times do you say yes when it's really inconvenient for you to say yes to help somebody else out? And then it puts you out. So yes, I'm all for helping other people and doing things for others, but there's times you just have to say, nope, I can't do that today. I had plans for that. Okay? So I want you to really be focused on that. So if I could do a brain zap and zap what I know here into your brain, it would be a lot easier than having to study, right? I wrote an email to that effect, you know, download my brain. And one of my friends wrote back to me and said, that's a scary thought. If I downloaded your brain, my head would explode. I'm like, okay. But if there was a way, I always think of the USB things, you stick it in the computer, right? If I could stick it in my ear and have it go zhink, and then we could just sell these little USB drives, you'd probably pay a heck of a lot more than you would for an online program with videos that you had to watch, wouldn't you? Right? Here you go. That'll be $100,000, please. No. But imagine. But we can't do that, so we have to do it in a different way. So I want to share with you how, you know what I need is those other set of slides, because I didn't put it in, that other set of slides that we gave you this morning, and then we'll come back to this after the break. So a lot of you feel like you're not ready and you didn't want to move forward and, you know, I'm not ready for this, the financial investment is too high, whatever. And we knew that would happen. It happens all the time. And for the first time ever, we decided to put together something that will be like a jump start, where you can get started with part of the whole program, and then you can use the investment you made in that as a deposit on the whole program later on if you decide to do it. You may find that this particular piece of the program is all you need to run it at this point in time. So I decided to, like, okay, what do we need to know? What do we really need to know? And what are the steps in the process that needs to happen? So what we did was we put together a program that's 5 core training modules, but it's taken from the program. What's nutritional endocrinology? How does it work, right? How do all those hormones interact with each other? How does energy work at a cellular level? That's what these are. How does it work at a cellular level, right? What are the nutrients that if somebody is really tired, that it may be that their mitochondria aren't working well? There's also a functional history taking. So we've talked a lot about that, finding out what's wrong. Even Anna Kabeka said 90% of the history. It comes from the history in the exam. You don't need the labs as much, but we're going to give you the whole entirety of our history taking program. And then we also have a functional blood chemistry, right? How do you find out what's in the blood chemistry, like the standard report that they get from their doctor every year, that you get from your doctor every year, that you can look at and say, oh my goodness gracious, there's a zinc deficiency. There might be a B6 deficiency. So we put that in there too. That's like a 20-hour program on how to read that stuff and how to understand anemia and white blood cells in the immune system and certain nutrient deficiencies and scanning for, is there an adrenal problem? And then we have the entirety of the Body Freedom Program, which I was starting to tell you about before, and we'll go into more details after, which is the stress reduction, the attitudes, all of the resources, all of the pieces that you get to that, like all seven of those pillars, and how you can use these tools to work with your clients right away to get them in balance, plus the assessment. So you get an entirety of the history taking and all the assessments we use. I showed you a few today. We have a whole big collection of them that you can use for different clients in different situations. So you can get to the heart of what's going on. We also have the Practice Building Success System, which is the business part. So we've touched on all three parts that we talked about. The self-nurturing, where you get the entirety of the body freedom formula. We've given you some clinical skills, the ones you need to get started. How do you know what's going on with them? The discovery part and the analyze part, or part of the analyze part. We go into much more detailed functional tests in, you know, different modules, but big piece of the program. And the business piece. So I've recorded these webinars, choosing your target audience, translating what you do into a program, attracting and enrolling clients, online networking, how do you get people in your door, affiliating with others, which gives you an opportunity to create projects together or promote other people's programs and get an affiliate commission, which helps fund you as you're doing other stuff. And then packaging your genius as a teleseminar. How do you do a teleseminar? So that's all included in this program. There's six modules there. In addition, so there's four training programs. There's also going to be seven live mentoring and training calls where I'm going to walk you through those body freedom formula things. How do you work with your client? How do you actually do this? And there'll be coaching, plus 6 months of our INE office hours calls where you can get on and ask any question about anything. You can ask about cases that you're working on. So you'll get this for 6 months. And then you also get a six module, the practice building success system that I just talked about. So all of this is a jumpstart piece. It's like a big chunk of the beginning part of the program. So that if you're not ready to, like, I can't invest that, I don't have the time to do that, or I'm not really interested in going into all the thyroid stuff, I just really want to support people and have an adjunct to IIN or whatever other programs you've been through, and have the tools that you can use with people, the handouts and all, plus having our support. The mentorship support. There's going to be some calls with me. I'm going to bring in like Lynn and Tony to start to talk to you about how to motivate people. But that's going to start, and we're not going to start those calls until January. You can have access to the modules and the site before then, but we're not going to start those until January, because guess what? Thanksgiving's a few weeks away, then Christmas, and who wants to start a program now, right? Right? So we're not going to start that, but you can actually dig in and start using the materials right away. Okay, so let's see. So what we have also is, yeah. So if you decide to go forward with this and do this with us and you invest in full, which means you have a deposit you put down today and you have 30 days to pay the balance, we're going to give you as a gift the insulin resistance practitioner training, the clinical mastery of the digestive training, and a practice building success system guest library with people like Bill Barron and Lisa Sasevich and other people who are big known in the business to help you to get the marketing together. Really great stuff. So those are the value of that. We sell the insulin resistance program for $19.97 on our website. The same thing with the clinical mastery of the digestive system. And the practice building success system is only available to students in our program. But the combination of those two is about $4,500 alone. And then the practice success system, we don't even have a value for it because it's worth so much. The foundations piece
We sell that for in as part of our $5,000 program for clients where we coach them through it. But you're going to get all of that. And we have a special. The everyday investment is going to be $49.97. But if you do the full pay investment now, it's $39.97. So for a fraction of what all that stuff is worth put together, you get to do it. You get to put $9.97 down today and pay the balance when you're ready to do that within 30 days, and you'll get the extras. If you don't want to do the full pay and not have those programs, like say you already have the insulin resistance and the CMDS, and you want to just do this as an addition, then you can do the payment plan. And it's six installments of $9.97. So the reason we decided to do this was so that you could walk away feeling like you can get started, even though this is not something that's full and you're not ready to do the full program. So if this is something you want to do, when we take the break, what I want you to do is you can take the card that's in the middle of your booklet and just bring it to the back and just write, they'll write on the top core that that's what you want to do, okay? And I'm going to use what got Jan in. The first three that do it, I will do a half an hour session with you to help you get started and integrate this into your practice. Okay? So you switch back to the other slides. Does this sound like something that might be helpful to have all these resources, right? So you're going to get the pieces we use with the clients, but I'm also going to teach you how I use them with the clients. So we're going to teach you how to use them, and then you get to ask questions, and you can start to do them, and then you can come back. So you're basically getting 7 months of coaching when you do this, which is pretty cool. Then if you decide you're going to go to the NEPT program, you decide the full program you want it. If you decide within 3 months that you're going to upgrade, then we'll just put your whole investment towards that. If you go 6 months, we'll give you 80% because you will have gotten like 7 months of extra coaching and all that. But we will give you that amount towards it. So there's really no risk, right? There's not a risk. You can just dig in, put your little feet in, and then if you decide you want to go with the whole shebang, you can do it later. This is the piece we're going to be incorporating into that. This is critical because I think that this is the piece that most people skip, right? What's the next best thyroid herb? What's the next best, adrenal herb? Okay, what are you eating? Well, I still have Cheetos for breakfast. And okay, let's look at this. Are you stressed out? No, I'm okay, they don't deal with this stuff. And if you put good nutrition on top of all these pillars that are out of balance, it doesn't really do much good, right? If you're in sympathetic dominant nervous system state, what happens? Cortisol is being released like crazy. And cortisol then shuts down the digestive tract. So how can a stressed out person have good digestion? It's impossible, right? When you're under a lot of stress and you've got the cortisol coming out, what happens is that the thyroid receptors on the cells, they're very sensitive to cortisol. They get damaged. The conversion from T4 to T3, which is the active hormone, it gets interfered with. There's an enzyme, an iodo, 5' deiodinase enzyme that is required, and it gets depleted when you have too much cortisol. Okay? So stress, you got to deal with it first. David has been doing a great job of it in the Qigong, right? You got to deal with it because if you don't, it's destroying the body. And I can't give you an herb that's going to help. I can't give you an acupuncture treatment that's going to counteract the effects of consistent cortisol. And then when your adrenals burn out because you've been doing this for years or your clients have, then they're exhausted. So they have all the damaging effects of cortisol, and then they don't have the positive effect of cortisol, which is to give them energy because you drain it and now you're dead. And you're like, high blood pressure, the blood vessels are damaged, you've got the gut damage, so it's critical. If you learn nothing from this weekend, you have to help people deal with stress. And I just want to say one more thing about stress before I just go through some of these others. When you think about stress, name some stresses that you think about. Money, what else? Aging parents, what else? Long hours at work. children, right? The dealing with constant children, never having time for yourself. These things are stressful. Not enough self-care, right? You're frazzled. But there's other stresses. David might want to shout one of these out. There's other stressors. It's not just the mental and emotional stressors. And these are the ones people don't think about. Toxins, right? Toxic environment, the paint you just splattered on the wall. And this person's saying to you, I just have been exhausted and exhausted. And then you ask questions. And when you know how to take the history like we're going to teach you, you're going to find out that, oh, they had a leak in their roof 6 months ago. And now you're thinking mold, right? That's a stress on the body, right? Or they say, I just moved into a new house, or I just got new carpeting. How many MDs ask their patients if they just got new carpeting right before the symptoms started? Do you know any? I mean, there's a few functional medicine ones, right? But how many of you do that? That's what we teach you to do in our history taking, right? Is to ask every kind of question. They just had a root canal. Who asks that? Oh, did you have a root canal right before you started having that gut problem? Who asks that? You will when you learn how to do that, right? That's why it's so important, because those are all stressors. Root canals, mold in the house, a leaky roof, new carpeting, painting, right? Or new furniture, right? I one time bought one of these plastic shower curtains, because it was so cute for my kids' bathroom, and it had fish on it. It was just beautiful. And they brought it home. I took it out of the bag, and I was like, I keeled over. It was so, and I put it outside, and I left it outside, and after a few days, it still smelled that way. I'm like, we're not using this in our house, right? But people don't know this, right? They don't know about all the things in our environment and all the things inside that are so toxic. The thing I was reading about just last week was the third-hand smoke. Right? The smoke that your pet picks up when he goes to visit grandma. The smoke on your clothes when you go to a club. That stuff is toxic. So these are all stressors, and you need to be learning how to deal with those stresses. Attitude. I don't care how good you are with your food. If you're sitting there going, God damn juice, I have to have another one of these. That doctor made me drink this juice. He says it's going to get me well. I'm not well yet. How many people have you heard like that, though? I'm not well yet. I've been drinking that juice for 3 days. Right? That attitude is going to hurt them more than if they were drinking a glass of wine instead of the juice. Right? So really working with people on that attitude. And we have a whole questionnaire, and that's included in that packet. I think you actually have this on your website, on our webpage. It's the 7 Pillars questionnaire. Like, these are all the questions. Right? Nutrition, sleep. Okay, well, I don't need sleep. I just drink coffee when I first get up. I have plenty of energy on 3 hours sleep. How many cups of coffee? So these are questions that the doctor doesn't ask. Well, I'm fine after 3 hours of sleep, but by the middle of the afternoon, I'm exhausted. And doc's going, oh, well, you know, maybe you should have some coffee in the afternoon. Right? You've got to be looking at sleep. It's big time. There are studies that show that even one night of bad sleep can cause insulin resistance in a healthy person. Okay? In a healthy person. Imagine what it does to the person who's already got health challenges. So sleep's critical. If you're not addressing these things with people and asking them about it, right? Your first intake. I've had this problem since 1972. Okay? Tell me about your sleep. Tell me about your stress. You know their attitude. You get that pretty quickly, right? That's really usually pretty clear when you're talking to them. Nutrition, we've been talking about the whole weekend, right? Where are their nutritional stresses? This questionnaire looks at what's their positive stuff, and do they have enough of that, and what's their negative stuff, their negative nutrition. Exercise, right? That's the E word that nobody likes. Not nobody, but some people love it. I love exercise. But people think badly. Well, what about if you could teach them how to do fun exercise? I said that to a friend. I said, what do you like to do? What are some of your favorite activities to do? So again, going back to an unconventional history, what do you like to do? She says, oh, I love to dance. I said, oh, what kind of dancing do you like to do? I just like to move to the music. And I great. What's your favorite music? She told me. I said, great. Every day. 5 minutes, I want you to put that music on. I want you to go in your living room and dance like nobody's watching, because guess what? Nobody's watching. And so she started doing that, and she loved it, and she ended up doing like a half an hour a day of it. She got her aerobics in, and she had fun with it. So helping them to find out what's fun. I always tell them if you can do two of these or three of these in one step, if you have one step that fits two or three of these criteria, you're in great shape. That's what we teach in the Foundations module. Environment, we just talked about, right? All those environmental things. Looking at that. Can somebody have a mic? And hi on live stream. I keep forgetting to say hi to you guys. I want to make sure you can hear, which is, yeah.
No, it's okay. Stressor and environment is the news, watching the news.
Thank you. Yeah. Watching the news, is that stressful or what? You find out about every bad thing that happened in every part of the world, right? In the olden days, bad things happened, but it was in your community. You could deal with the onslaught of small things, and you could do something about it, right? You can go visit the person. You can offer sympathy. You can offer help. Now we're totally helpless because we found out that there was some kind of earthquake or murder in some far remote place that we can't go to. And the political is just this constant bickering and back and forth. Like, I always tell people the first step in stress reduction is take a news fast. Just go cold turkey and don't watch the news. Right? Because, yes, it's stressful. It puts your body into sympathetic dominant state. Sympathetic dominant is awesome when there's tigers chasing you and you need to get away. Sympathetic dominant state is counterproductive if you're trying to heal. No healing happens. No digestion happens. You've got to be in parasympathetic state. The state you get to when you do Qigong, the state you get to when you meditate, when you do heart math, right? When you do yoga and any other state, that state of, that's when you're healing, and you got to teach your clients that's when they're healing. And then fun, of course, and relationships are part of fun, enjoyment. Some people say I shouldn't call it fun, I should call it enjoyment, but the F fit better with the so I was going to change it, but it fits better with my freedom formula. But relationships, like having good, solid relationships where you're communicating and you're enjoying each other, doing things that are enjoyable. To me, I may not think of it as fun to go out and sit in the sun and bask in the sun. It's enjoyment. So fun and enjoyment. These are the things you have to be asking them right from the start. Does that make sense? Right from the beginning. So these are my pillars, and you have these slides. So you have some ideas to how to assess and then how to address the different imbalances in here. So there's the stress, there's the strong values and visions, there's the pillar, the sleep pillar, the nutrition pillar, the fitness pillar, the environment, and fun. Yes, and I was just going to say, I'm going to open it up for questions because next up is going to be Tony. So yes, so I want to answer any questions that you might have at this point. A microphone, please. Thank you.
Okay, so this is a long history taken. Would you recommend doing this all in one setting, or is this something you would break up into different
awesome
settings?
Question.
Or
awesome question. So some of this, a lot of this, you can do with forms, right? You can do with checklists and with scoring. So a good starting point is the seven pillars assessment. Like, it's a 12-page assessment. But you give it people and they go through and they're looking at themselves. Now you're going to have some ideas and they ask extra questions based on that. Like, it's going to trigger, oh, well, when did that happen and all. But there's a lot of that, like the environment one. It asks about mold. It asks about newly painted. It asks about the carpeting. It asks about a lot of things. Okay? So yeah, you could spend 4 hours. Now if you're doing a VIP day, when you get to that point where you're like, I'm going to do a high-end program, I'm going to take somebody in for my house for a weekend where I'm going to really do a big intake and I'm going to teach them how to make food, I'm going to show them exercises, and you charge them the appropriate amount of money for that, then there's nothing like that, but you have to be well compensated for your time to do it. Now the other way you do it, if you don't want to do this, if it's somebody who just is not into writing and all that, you can ask it in separate points of time. You can ask a chunk of the information right up front, then you can make a note for yourself. But I would be signing that person up for a series, for a 3 month, 6 month, 6 week, whatever program, and you have it laid out for yourself. Like, this week we're going to focus on this. These are my questions for them. These are some of the things I'm going to do based on what they respond. This is some of the coaching. So that's part of creating a program, which you can do with one-on-one with people, but then you can do it with a whole group, right? Imagine being able to do that with a whole group, which we do that in our year-long program. It makes sense? Does that answer your question? Good question. I like that question. Who else? Over here?
We've heard several times the term. Oh, okay. We've heard several times the phrase, not this for that. If I was to explain in a nutshell to someone what it is, how would I do that?
What not this for that means?
Well, I understand what it means, but what's the positive side of that? What is it?
We don't like this for that. We like customizing a plan for your individual imbalances, right? Identifying the root cause, and then what's the imbalance there and how to correct it. Now, there's times when the imbalance there is a missing limb or a surgery that removed part of the colon. And then sometimes you're going to have to do a this for that. We're going to always have to have B12 because your ileocecal area is missing and the receptors are no longer there for B12. But that's where, when you understand how it all works together, right, then you can say, oh, like this person said they had a colon resection, we got to watch for their B12 status, and they're not going to be able to absorb it, right? They're going to either have to do injections or sublinguals, but they're not going to get it from food. Or if they have antibodies in their stomach, or their stomach, they had surgery because they had an ulcer, and they had surgery and all those, what's called the parietal cells, are missing, and they can't make the intrinsic factor that helps it absorb. So those are the ways that you get around it. It's like customizing, finding the root cause and customizing. Does that help? Yeah. Sure, well, absolutely.
She's going to show the slide.
So Kelty should have it.
There's questions in the audience, so they're coming back to ask. That's all.
Okay, we can put it back.
And just put it up one more time, perhaps.
Yes, can you put that back up? But you have it there. So you can show them. Okay, all right, so let me find it. What? Oh, I don't know. Just go to the other presentation that talked about the core,
et cetera.
It was the ones we had up right before this. It's a good question. I probably went through that too fast.
Yeah, and maybe if you can sort of describe each component.
Sure.
Here we go.
Okay. So there's 5 core training modules, which I'll tell you about in a moment. It's on another slide. There's 7 live training and mentoring calls. So we're going to take you through those 7 pillars. And we're going to have a training on how you can use this and implement it with your clients in your practice and all the different pieces of it, and then an open Q&A mentoring call for that. We also have something we call I&E office hours. Those of you who have been in CMDS or IRSPT know that you can just come once a month and ask whatever questions and bring cases and get help with whatever's going on. So you'll basically have 2 calls a month for the period of 6 months, and then there's an extra training at the end. And then the 6 module practice building success system, which is a series of webinars. They're usually an hour to 90 minutes each that I recorded on how to do these individual marketing pieces, and I can show that list. Okay? We always have access to the recording, so if you can't make it live, you'll be given a link to a web page where those recordings will be. Yep. Yep. And then we have these are the 5 core training modules. The body freedom, which is what I just went through, those 7 pillars. We also call them the 7 pillars. It's a part of our year-long coaching program that people pay to be in with us. And you're going to get all of that, which is 7 different modules. And each of those has multiple sections. So the nutrition section, for example, we have eating for bone health, eating for cardiovascular health, eating for thyroid health, eating for different kind of healths. We have all the different assessment pieces for vitamins. We have a whole section on vitamins, a whole section on minerals, section on protein. And these are pieces that are maybe less detailed than what we gave you as a practitioner, but we'll go through it in a way that you will reinforce what you know about it, but that you can share with your clients. Like, oh, this is what vitamins are. This is what minerals are. These are the signs of deficiency. So you can guide them through the core nutritional components of how to change their diet and why, right? Eating for blood sugar balance, dental situation. Yeah. Say that again. The access, we never take it away. Once you buy it, you can have access to them. Yes. And you can download everything. So unlike some programs where you have to stream it and you have to watch it at the computer and be online, we don't make you do that. You can download everything. So you can put it on your iPad. You can put it on your laptop. Watch them on airplanes. Because I get really annoyed when I've paid a whole lot of money to be in a training program. And then I'm on planes a lot. And I can't watch them because you can't stream them even with the Wi-Fi on the plane. So we believe in it's yours. You bought it. It's yours. You download it. You've got it on your computer. And that's what we recommend doing. And actually, in the modules, we have a checklist that's built in. So you would say, here's step one, you know, download your materials, and you check it off when you've done it. So we kind of remind you to do it, because sometimes you don't remember to do it, right? And watch this video, and we even have little notes and little quizzes at the end of each module to help you to really understand it. That makes sense? It's self-paced. You can go through the material at your own pace, right? Yeah. And then the, what else? So the different modules, the nutritional endocrinology overview and relationship is actually our first module in the full NEPT program, which it just gives you, it's about three and a half hours of video. They're broken up into smaller sections, and it teaches you an overview of what all the hormones are and how they work together, and what are the pituitary hormones, what are the hypothalamus hormones, et cetera. And then there's energy metabolism, which is all about the Krebs cycle. Remember that from high school? But we're going to talk about it in a different way. Like, oh, B3 deficiency, B1 deficiency, the different things that can be deficient that could cause this person to have low energy. So we go through all the aspects of why they have low energy. These are core beginning pieces. Then we go into the functional history taking, which is how do you ask questions? Right? How do you ask them questions? What are all the questions? Here's a dental history section. Here's the past surgery history sections. How do you actually get to the heart of what's going on? Are you going to ask every single one of those questions of every person? No. Right? But there's going to be triggers and clues. You're going to go, I need to go down this. Have you had any dental work? Oh, when did you have the dental work? Oh, let's do this dental. Make sure you have all that. Did they have a root canal? Did they have an abscess? What are all the things that went on with that? Okay, and then you can go back to, based on what you find, into that section, the seven pillars piece, and you can watch the video on dental, eating for dental health, right? And you can go, oh, here's some of the things I could work with this person on, right? And then there's the functional blood chemistry analysis could be a whole course in and of itself, and someday it will be. But it's basically, how do you read the CBC? How do you read the blood chem? How do you read their thyroid hormone testing? And how do you figure out, oh, wow, there's a zinc deficiency based on nutrient, you know, based on specific content there. And we teach you how to compare and contrast. So it's not just about this being high or this being low. It's about what combination creates an issue. And then those are the practice building pieces. And these are all pieces that are on my sheet. And you get access to that as a self-paced, as a, you know, they're, whenever you want to watch them, if one of them is appealing, wow, I just got invited to talk on somebody's summit or teleseminar. Okay, I'm going to go and create a teleseminar. How do I do that? What are some of the steps? What are some of the software that I can use to do that? Okay? So those are all the ones that you're included. Okay. Is that good? Does that help? Okay, great. Thank you. All right.
Is aside from this, I just wanted to ask one question.
Sure.
We have, between Mark and I, we have a number of the pieces already. One of the things that we're missing is the testing, mm-hmm. and analyzing the testing, know which tests are appropriate for what.
Right.
And I guess I was just going to ask you if you plan to have a breakout module on that, because
in
that's
the
big
future
stuff.
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah, in the future probably. I can't say when. It could be 6 months. It could be a year. It certainly won't be any sooner than 6 months. Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah, but you'll get all the rest of this, which you don't have in the programs you've had with me, but maybe you got somewhere else, I don't know, right? Okay. Okay, so that's it. Any other questions? Questions, comments? All right, let's take a break. Okay, so this is the last break before Tony starts at 3:45. What time is it now? I still says 6 minutes. What? Oh, she starts at, she starts at 3:45. 3:30 sharp is the raffle, because this takes longer to do the grand prize raffle. So 3:30, be in your seats if you want to apply for the grand prize raffle. Last chance to get extra tickets by donating to the charity, and the grand prizes will be donated off in a few minutes. I would recommend, I don't know if she got out there, I haven't seen her, but Amy Beth, who runs this Your Lab Test Online or something, I can't remember the exact name, but Your Lab Test, she's donated a grand prize, and she was going to have a table out there, so visit there. Because she's created a situation where you guys can sign up under my account and get it your own page, that when you send your friends and family and clients there, you'll see your picture there, and you'll see the lab testing that you've chosen, and I've done some specialty stuff. Okay? See you in a bit. See you back here sharply at 3:30.